webcasting to the world.
Do you remember the moment you saw yourself and God and God and you, and you were one with the universe and God and everybody?
Knowing the truth about the gospel.
You were one with the prostitutes and pimps and priests and kings, and there was nobody on earth that was better than you nor less than you.
That we are all righteous.
And no one on earth was any less in Christ than anyone else.
That's Mike Williams, and this is the Gospel Revolution.
Welcome to the Gospel Revolution Powercast for Thursday, June 22, 2017. Broadcasting from the home of redemptionism, where we love every train of thought visiting our station of freedom. We're coming to you from the Gospel Revolution studios right here in Eva, Alabama, thanks to the generosity of GR executive producers Jimmy and Carrie McCollum. But right now from Palm Beach Gardens in Florida, bringing you more consistent, persistent, repetitive CPR of the gospel is the president and founder of the Gospel Revolution, Michael Williams. Hello, Mr. Michael Williams. How are you?
Good morning, Barris Bartlett. I am in Palm Beach Gardens, alive, and as well as I can be right now.
I know that something's badly wrong because you just say good morning instead of good evening.
Yeah, getting this morning started has been a bit of a difficult start to where that it has run into the evening now. So.
It's just been that kind of a day, mate, eh?
But we are here, and we are ready to rock and roll.
Well, there you go. This week, mate, we got a couple of emails.
Yes, we did.
Mm-hmm. Yep, got one from Phil Britton, and he said, Don, I just happened to be listening when you were sharing about your name and how you wanted to be called Don instead of Barris from now on. You know, family, I didn't actually... It wasn't a hard reset for me. It was a soft reset. Michael made it a hard reset because he just started calling me Don, and now I'm Don. And who knows? That was probably good. A soft reset could have taken 10 years, and I could have been dead by then. So, Mike, thanks, mate. Phil Britton says, my dad's name was John for all of his adult life, but when he reached 70 or so, at least I'm 5 years before that, he suddenly... wanted to be called Jack. It was pretty strange hearing him respond to that name. The very same impulse has come over me at the age of 64, only with a slight variation.
Yeah, and it's strange. My goodness. We have our finger on the pulse of gospel revolutionaries and old men around the world more than what we thought we did.
Yeah, we belong to the GRRB. The Gospel Revolution Retirees Brigade.
Exactly.
So he says, the very same impulse has come over me at the age of 64, only with a slight variation and entirely different name. I hear myself inventing intriguing identities like Rocky Slate, Brick Steel, Brett Stone, or Garnet Pistol. I like these names. They're very, I mean, like...
Now, here we're going to go. You're going to want to change your name again.
Oh, I'll tell you something about that in a moment. I mentioned different names to Beth. I'm guessing Beth is his wife. Whenever they pop into my mind, and she breaks out laughing. She says, you don't really want to change your name, do you? I always wind up agreeing and laughing too. Anyway, I'd like to finish on a different note. You have some very bright members, and I'm gratified that they email me to share their personal appreciation for my book, The Greatest Gospel Truth. Their kind words make the writing worth the effort. All the best to you, Phil. TheGreatestGospelTruth.com, if I recall right, and friends, download his book and read it. It's a free book, and you can do it straight there on the web. But, Mike, I have a couple of, what do you call them when they're not your name?
Aliases?
A pseudonym? Yeah, an alias. I have a couple of aliases I use. One was Radish McTractor, which I always – I had this – I don't know where I got these from. I invented them, actually. Radish McTractor of Subterranean Airlines was one that I used quite a lot on the web in the old days. And the other one is – and by far and away my favorite is Egbert – Mullet Fondler. So
I'm not asking any questions. Forget it.
No, you don't have to. But Egbert Mullet-Fondler, I have another one I use sometimes. You'll see me around the place as Hairy Sea Hunter. Hairy Sea Hunter, or if you prefer, Heresy Hunter. If you see me around, you'll know what I'm doing there.
You're just too clever, Barris.
Mate, I should have been born an angel. I'm probably too good for the human race, to be honest.
I've heard other people say that too.
About me. Yes, I understand that.
Yes.
Because they're only human too, you know. All right. Phil, thanks, buddy. And I hope at the end of today's podcast, actually, we have a little add-in for your book. And I hope that you have great and continued success with that book because it is good. Now, I said on last week's podcast that I hadn't heard back from anyone about something that I'd tagged a previous podcast with. And lo and behold, between when we recorded it and when it went out to air, I heard from Wayne Leese. And he said, "Hello, Mr. D.A.B. Bartlett. Dab. A little dab will do ya.
Real cream, real cream, real cream. Real cream, a little dab will do ya."
If you're under 64, you probably don't even know what that means. He says, "Please, I need to know how to find out more about that lady on the clip you played at the end of the last podcast. For me, it was as if you lit fireworks inside my thinking. Thanks, Wayne, in Christ where I live." And then he wrote me back and said, "Hello, I found her. Have you read this article?" And this was the article, Mike, I sent you during the week. It was a scientist's thoughts about redefining our concept of God. And I loved it, and you liked it, and you can find it here. We may or may not put this up on our website. I've been trying to contact the owners, and if we get the okay, we'll certainly put it up on the website because it is just, we don't care so much what you think as we care about the fact that you think, that you think for yourself, and this will definitely help that process. It is www.sartouris.com/PDFS/defining God, capital D, capital G, all one word, definingGod.pdf. If you want to see it, go and visit Elizabeth Sartouris. This was written, I think, back in the 70s of last century, so it's been around for quite a while.
You know, one thing, Don, I think that people, even maybe some of our own gospel revolutionaries, it's an adjustment for them, for anyone, and including us, that we would publish something on our website that we may agree with part of, all of, Jim's letters on there, we agree with none of it, so we published it on our website. So I think that was the hesitation, especially on your part, was that we would publish this and people would think that, you know, we would be accused of being New Age or something like that. But as we've already shared with you, regardless where we find some thought that is forward thinking, if God lives in us, then God can express himself through someone who doesn't know Jesus. Hello? Can I say that once again?
Say that once again, mate.
We have to accept the fact that God, who lives in all of humanity, could express himself through someone who even not only don't, quote, know Jesus, but would even deny that Christ is the Lord. We hold dearly the understanding of the virgin birth, the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. We know that it is the salvation of the world. But in knowing that, we also know that through that process, God has inhabited all of the entire human race.
And if he has, then his creativity must be able to flow through the entire human race.
That is my persuasion also, Don. And so we shouldn't be surprised that we hear things through people who are maybe of another whole religion, of no religion, atheism. It could be many things. So here is a common bond that we could really be a part of. The more religious people are, though, whether Christian or Muslim or the rest of the list, the less likely you're going to hear reflections of truth out of that God himself would be shining truth through. I hear less truth through most Christian ministers than I do through atheists, through people who profess no belief in God whatsoever. Because in Christianity, as with other religions, any religion that promotes exclusivity, you're not going to hear truth out of that. You can't squeeze the life of God through exclusivity.
That's like trying to pour the oceans of the world through a garden hose, isn't it?
Well, exactly. And it just, you know, you might get a trickle occasionally that might come through. But the fact of it is, you're less likely to get truthful insight from the religious mind than you are from those who have no religious persuasions at all.
Hear, hear. I like that.
So enjoy the article. And as you do, think of it what you want to think of it. Obviously, Don has read through it and thought, yeah, don't agree with that. But wow, look at this. So, folks, just enjoy yourself. Goodness, don't go through this confinement, thought confinement. Goodness gracious. I detest it. Occasionally, during the week, I'll flip on the TV preachers.
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to put this up on the articles right now. Seeing it, I mean, if you're ready to talk about televangelists, well, I'm ready to just stick this thing up there and not doubt a word.
Oh, absolutely. The thing that I get out of them is not declarations of truth that came out of their mouth. It's verses out of context that cause me to see things. It's like, oh my gosh. That was so amazingly wrong. I now see what it means.
So you get insights, not prayer cloths.
Exactly. Boy, it's hard to listen. I can only do that just a few minutes at a time. And it is so insulting to the grace of God. You know, when you run into Paul's three declarations of what it takes to absolutely defame Christ. Defaming Christ. That's what insulting God's grace is. It is called defaming Christ.
That wouldn't that be anti-Christ?
Yeah, it can be anti-Christ. I like defaming Christ this morning.
No, I'm just thinking that defaming Christ would be anti-Christ.
It is, yeah.
Wow.
And anytime you hear somebody saying that sin in any way, shape, or form needs to still be dealt with, they are defaming Christ. If they say that God is angry, has been angry over the last 2,000 years, or will be angry in the future, they are defaming Christ. If you hear anybody say there's something they've got to do or not do to be right with God, they are defaming Christ. Those three standards is what Paul set as the parameters through which we view Christ. These are the things you can't bring into the mix without defaming Christ. You can't bring this into the mix and still understand the gospel. These three things have to be taken out. And people have heard me say for years, Barris, that the gospel doesn't put anything into you. It doesn't give you something you don't have. The gospel takes away what is there that prevents you from understanding the truth. So the three things that the gospel is going to take away is sin consciousness, self-righteousness through keeping laws, and any dread or thought of judgment.
Now, that is a really nice segue into something I wrote on the Friends of Mike Williams and the Gospel Revolution in Facebook. Now, if you're not a member of Friends of Mike Williams and the Gospel Revolution, then just put it up in the search bar and find us and join us. First, let me play you a bit of a song. Have you heard this, mate?
Jesus, take the wheel. Take it from my hand. I can do this all. Jesus, take the wheel.
You heard that song, mate?
It seems like in a nightmare once or something, yes.
So here's what I wrote. I said, here's a thought. If you get to the place of saying, Jesus, take the wheel, then keep your hands on it so that he'll have a way to grip it.
Exactly.
I mean, if we're God in the earth, and as you just said, God is in the entire human collective.
Yeah.
Continuing in the same vein, Barry Laney in Friends of Mike Williams, and if you didn't see Friends of Mike Williams in the Gospel Revolution, then you missed this, so I'm just going to help bring this to your attention. Now, he quoted Alan Watts. Now, Alan Wilson Watts was a British philosopher who held both a master's degree in theology and a doctorate of divinity. He was famous for his research on comparative religions, and he wrote this: Jesus Christ knew he was God. So wake up and find out eventually who you really are. In our culture, of course, they'll say you're crazy and you're blasphemous, and they'll either put you in a jail or in the nut house. This man lived and died in the last century. Put you in a jail or a nut house, which is pretty much the same thing. However, if you wake up in India and tell your friends and relations, my goodness, I've just discovered that I'm God, they'll laugh and say, oh, congratulations, at last you found out. And if you have any questions about anything that we've said so far, remember, feel free to record them on United States area code 234-564-0971. For outside of the United States, you dial your international dialing code and then 1-2-3-4-5-6-4-0-9-7-1. And you can always email them to freedom@gospelrevolution.com and they will get to us every single time.
You may be wondering what's going on. You heard what Michael said, is that right or wrong? Don't be shy now, pick up the phone call. Questions are the lifeblood flowing through the veins of the Gospel Revolution. Questions are the lifeblood flowing through the veins of the Gospel Revolution. Could this be madness? What did you hear? What you heard might not be perfectly clear. Take a stand now, we'll be right here. Call questions are the lifeblood flowing through the veins of the Gospel Revolution. Questions are the lifeblood flowing through the veins of the Gospel Revolution.
Now, I wanted to just touch on your series, Predestined to Life, Mike.
Yes.
Your new series, or your late series, or your latest series from the recent Gospel Revolution End of Spring Conference in Calgary. Now, you tackled the word predestination in the light of the gospel as opposed to traditional Christian theology. In fact, what you did, you drew out every single reference to predestination using both the English word and the Greek word, and you took every single one of those references and studied them out in context. Now, this series is available for download now at gospelrevolution.com for $11.99.
Uh-oh, disinformation here.
I know, it's talk about fake news.
That was fake news.
I want to read you what Jeff Robertson said. Mike's latest series, Predestined to Life, is now free to download on our website. Thank you to all of you who've already paid the $11.99 for the series. As has always been our policy, we have liberally provided free downloads to anyone who lets us know they want to listen to a teaching series from Mike. So if you've already paid for this series and would like another, just let me know and I'll give you a free download. I think he means if you'd like to have another series. But you can always call him up on the number I mentioned earlier. And not on the number I mentioned earlier. You can always call him up on 321-220-4373 and find out exactly what that means. I don't think that he's been uncertain here. I think that I'm just being a little thick in trying to get it. So he says, if you've already paid for this series and would like another, just let me know and I'll give you a free download. I'll tell you what, Jeff, let's give people a free download of anything they want. And that's just a free MP3 download. That's not the CDs, which will cost money because it costs us money to produce them. He said, click the following link for the free download, and it is gospelrevolution.com/product/predestined-to-life/. And you can go straight there and download it for free. It's like a newsletter. It's free. Mm-hmm. If you don't get it now, you got rocks in your head. I'm just saying. I mean, you might be a nice person. You might even treat other people really sweetly. But if you don't get this, you got rocks in your head.
Yeah, and the let me explain the difference here between this series and the others that we have. And Don is right. We've offered to anybody who cannot afford the downloads that if they need them, we will get them to them. You'll have to make contact to do that. The difference between those and this one is you can't pay for it if you want to now. The price on it when you go and click on this series is $0.00. So you can't pay for it. You don't have to call somebody. You don't have to tell them, I can't afford this, so could I have this free? You can't pay for it. Now, if in your mind you say, wow, you know, that's really generous, and I would like to be generous with the Gospel Revolution and make a $10,000 donation because of this, you just go right ahead. We're not offended by that whatsoever.
I was thinking you'd say, no, you can't do that.
No, you can't. You just can't do it as payment for the series. Now, the other series, if you are strapped and you need these downloads, then you will have to make contact with the office to circumvent the pay button that is on the site. So that's the difference between this one being free, is that you can't pay for it, and the other ones being free, you don't have to pay for it. We want this series out on predestination, but it seems to be the culmination of almost 40 years of work in the gospel. This developed out of a conversation that Don and I had for a few years, actually. And it was something that I had never been able to resolve. And I admitted to everybody, well, it's either this way or it's that way. I'm more persuaded this way, but I'm not totally persuaded it's not the other way. But there was suddenly information based on verses we were covering. I remember exactly when the nickel dropped. We were going in detail in Romans chapter 8. The thing that put me over the edge was something I'd read many times, but of course it didn't compute because I wasn't in that paradigm of thought. And it was the statement that Paul made that Adam was created by God, subject to vanity by necessity. That it was God's plan that Adam be subject to corruption. It was not a surprise to God that Adam was, quote, corrupted. And I began to think about that, and I thought, now, Paul is saying something here nobody in the Christian world accepts. Nobody. I didn't even accept it. And that is that God created Adam with the predestined ability to be corrupted. So it literally states that Adam was created designed to fail, as what we understand failure to be. So that grabbed me straight out of my whole world paradigm that I had of the gospel, and caused me, Mike Williams, to step back once again from everything I've ever taught and say, how does this change this? I cannot take this out of Paul's understanding. What did Paul understand that I don't get? Because he obviously understood something that I wasn't getting. And from that to finding that this term before the foundation of the world didn't just show up once or twice in Paul's teaching. It showed up in every place where he talked about predestination. So, man, I'm telling you, that just set me back. And with every conversation that Don and I had had, my goodness, what a wonderful journey this has been. Is one of those things, Don, where I felt like, you know, I could die and be a happy man right now and just die with a smile on my face, just having lived enough years to come to know this. Now, let me assure you, I did not get a revelation about this. If I would have gotten a revelation about it, I wouldn't be able to tell you the influences that came into my life, the points at which this challenged me to think. I was challenged to think, and it wasn't, and being with Don was not the first time. I was challenged about this for the last 20 years, but I couldn't get it. But I'm a slow learner. I've let people know all of my time in the ministry, I'm a slow learner. But once I get it, I got it. But I'm not going to start teaching something or change my mind until I see my way through past where I now stand. You got to have a foundation or something to step on to move on from where you are. Well, that's why we don't pressure people that don't agree with us about something. That's no, what big deal is that? I mean, we all see this from the place in which we now stand. And until somebody can give you a stepping stone that gives you the ability to make a step to where you now see it differently, then why are we upset with you? Why are we conflict? Because you can't see it. There's things I can't see still yet. But this series, I know I'm going on and on about this, but I cannot emphasize to you enough how much we want you to hear this series. It, for me, as the founder and the president of the Gospel Revolution, to teach it and to know it has been life-changing for me. You will see how this series completely voids out sin consciousness. It will void out completely any righteousness to be gained by keeping, or righteousness to be lost by disobeying God's law. It completely annihilates out of any heart and mind any thought of God being in the judgment business still. It is truly amazing. So again, we're encouraging you to get this. Click on it. It's free.
Now, family, I'd like you to have a little peek into the evolution of understanding, what I might call the evolution of understanding, because I don't know what else to call it at short notice. It's true. Mike and I had discussions over several years. And by the way, if you want to know anything about where you're at now, you need to know how God planned it out, which is called predestination. And that's why we want you to get this series. If you don't like it, if you don't agree with it, burn them, give them away. But please, don't continue in any disappointment or any misunderstanding or any confusion about your current status because you did not explore what God had planned from before time. But anyway, Mike and I had these discussions for quite a while, and a couple of them, a few of them, I avoided them at times because I didn't want to appear to Mike as if I was pushing him in any one direction, but I wanted him to at least hear the reasons that I had for feeling these things. And he was honest enough to ask me why I felt what I felt. I remember that he asked me when I went down to stay with him in Houston once, he said, "I want to know why you feel the way you feel." And there was no rancor, there was no opposition, there was nothing except curiosity and a desire to see if there was something he might have missed. So I want to now share with you some of the ongoing results of that. I saw recently something I'd missed my whole life, and I don't know that I would have seen this unless Mike had given it the impetus of the series on predestination. When you hear this, you'll realize, my gosh, how I've misread that all my life. But I'm not even certain that I would have gotten this unless Mike had gotten what he'd gotten. And I guess what I'm saying is we feed off each other. I mean, we all feed off each other. Mm-hmm. Family, we all feed off each other.
Oh, absolutely.
For all have sinned, Romans 3:23.
Mm-hmm. I love this.
For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, what were you raised to believe about that? We're all sinners. We are, present tense, all sinners.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was raised to believe. But let's read it all the way through. And remember that verses weren't introduced until the 1500s, and chapters weren't introduced until the 1400s, and English punctuation was always inserted after the fact. In Greek, Koine Greek, in which the New Testament was mostly written, is a series of capital letters. There is no word spaces. You want to read Revelation in Koine Greek? Mm-hmm. You're going to read 22 chapters of capital letters, no breaks, no punctuation, no chapters, no verses.
Mm-hmm.
You got to figure it out for yourself.
Have fun, yeah.
Yeah, really, all the best. So at the end of Romans 3:23, there is a semicolon, but there wasn't any semicolon when this was written. Now let's read it. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. How many people are justified freely by his grace?
Yep.
All who have sinned. Ha, ha, ha. Now, when I saw that, I'm going, oh, my God, that's extraordinary. Would I have gotten that?
Oh, it is, yeah.
Yeah, would I have gotten that without the predestination to life that Mike, the series that Mike produced? I don't know. I might have. I suspect I would not have, because it was made so much easier for me. Now, I always believed in the predestination that Mike preaches. Whenever you have opposition, whenever you have lack of acceptance, whenever you are the only one around who feels the way you feel, it does tend to contract your horizon. It tends to contract your ability to have wide vision. Now, and I blame you for that, Mike. I just blame you for that. You just stunted my growth for 5 years. But do you hear what I'm saying, family? We are all feeding into each other. We are we are all the glory. As Mike Turi says, we don't give God glory. We are his glory. We don't come short of his glory. We are his glory. And I'm just, mate, our relationship, our friendship has left me with so many reasons to be grateful. Thank you, Michael.
Barris, you and I both, and that's with everybody in the Gospel Revolution. I just got off of a phone call with Al Vitale this morning. You just would not believe the things that Gospel Revolutionaries are a part of, this daily carrying out of the gospel. Oh my gosh. People are involved, and if you're not, just get involved. Call us. We love it. We absolutely love it. Now, Barris, I'm going to stick with this. I know that we're probably trashing your entire plan here, but I really feel it's important. There's two more points about this issue of predestination that I want to bring out, because it's going to be important that people understand, and this may be the first time we've gone into this learning process of getting there like we have on this show so far, and it's vitally important. I always believed in predestination, but you see, where predestination begins is what is so vitally important. I knew, goodness, it was 20 years ago. I read Ephesians and found out that everyone that is in Christ was predestined to be there. There is no such thing as someone who is in Christ that is not predestined to be there. And it also says that's everybody. You get every bit of that out of Ephesians chapter 1. Every bit of that is in Ephesians chapter 1. As long as you lay aside your blinders of preconceived ideas that you've been taught about predestination and just read and accept what Paul teaches there, then you will know that anybody that's in Christ was predestined to be there. Now, here is the leap that I was unable to make the connection with. And that is that who was going to be in Christ and how Christ and God and man were going to be one, that plan started by God before he created the sun, the moon, and the stars. This is the most amazing thing you will ever learn about yourself or any other human being on earth. You see, you are the creation of God, even though it took 2,000 years for it to come to full fruition. You are the thing that was in the mind of God. The earth is here for you, just like it says in Genesis. The sun is in the sky for your benefit. The moon is where it is for your benefit. All of this is here designed around you. That's why it's here. You're not here because it produced you. It is there because God produced it for you. Ah, a next level of understanding for me was this understanding that Paul teaches succinctly, precisely, that this plan was put together by God and Jesus before the creation of anything else. You know what that does? It creates a whole slew of more questions, which I love that about the gospel. Now, so that is the paradigm that had to shift. I did accept predestination, but now let me tell you why I could not embrace the position that God predestined this before the foundation of the world. I knew those verses were there. You don't know how many times I went in and looked up foundation and world and was hoping the term world meant age, and which would have been a period of time that it began right after the fall of man, that after man fell, then God began the plan of predestination. And that would have been a drastic departure even from Christianity to say that predestination started right after man screwed everything up. God had to say, oh, well.
Gosh, I never saw that coming. My word, how yeah. They surprised me.
Exactly. So here, when you drop those shackles off and you begin to really embrace the entirety of this, the reason I was slow getting here is I could name you a list of people who embrace this doctrine of predestination, but it is to the point, to a understanding that I could not, would not, and will not adhere to. It was to the discrediting the power of the work of the cross for accomplishing what it did. The cross, in many people that teach this, the cross becomes irrelevant.
Hang on. Are you saying that you, after you became cognizant of the gospel of grace and the gospel of peace, after you realized the redemption of the whole world was part and parcel of God's plan and purpose, after that, you could not accept the standard Christian explanations of predestination? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, well, they didn't fit in anything about the gospel that I understood at all. Mm. And then, of course, you start brushing up against a whole different group of people. And many of these are our friends around the world today that have written translations of the Bible and different things like that. people that are doing their best to try to understand the gospel just like us, no different than us whatsoever. But my problem in my putting on the brakes was that, just like with Carlton Pearson, Carlton Pearson made the statement in our conference, our first conference in Houston of the Gospel Revolution, that he did not embrace that this bloody mess that took place 2,000 years ago was something that God had prescribed to be done.
Is he coming to our next conference?
No, he does not admit that he's ever been to one of our conferences now.
That's terribly unfortunate. That's terribly unfortunate, seeing as we have video of it.
Yeah, and you know, the thing I don't like about that is that we could continue to learn from each other. We could continue this back and forth. I tell you, that's what I hate that I've lost in these things, is that these men and women are brilliant thinkers, and we've got to stay open to each other. Let's hear it out. Just like when Barris came down here, this is too vitally important for us to pass up on this PowerCast. When Barris came down here, you know, I didn't realize how foreign it was to do what I did and say what I did when Don came down here and visited me. I don't even remember if it was about this particular thing that we were talking about. I know that that was part of what was in the air at that time. Now, I had already developed a great respect for Don Bartlett. You see, if you do respect somebody, you will want to hear them out. You will want to hear, why do you think the way that you think? Now, we could take a good dose of that on every level of every subject around the planet. Just tell me what it is. Tell me why you think this way. For what motive and what purpose? So I could prove him wrong? There was none of that in my heart whatsoever. Now, if I could prove him wrong, I would. But the motive of it is I can't just stand here and you be on one side of an issue and me on another and not understand where you're coming from. Help me understand why you think that what you are embracing here is the truth. Why? And I sat there and I listened. I didn't interrupt with, yeah, but, you know. That's why when people want to know something from me, Barris, they better really want to know, because I'm not having that type of discussion with anybody. And if you want to know something, I will share, and I will equally ask you questions and give you the opportunity to respond when we are trying to work through something. But you can't say that you want to know truth when all you want to do is set the person up so you can yeah but them. That's just, I feel like we're in kindergarten here trying to talk about things we should have learned when we were 5 years old. But these are things we have not learned, Don. We just haven't learned them. We haven't learned to listen. One of my very first things, I remember my very first teaching session. We had to teach on soul winning. I was terrified out of my mind. I had to stand up in front of, course, we were speaking, Norval was speaking at a church, several thousand. Then when the soul winning class met with us, those that wanted to go out and actually do soul winning that met with us, there was like 10 people out of this church of a couple of thousand or so. It was down in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. This was my first time that it was required that I have to begin to teach on soul winning. The very first concept I ever taught in my life, standing up in front of people, was this. God gave you two ears and one mouth. Maybe he did it for a reason. And that when you are out soul winning, now this is what I was teaching in the soul winning class. You're not there to tell them anything. You're there to listen to them. Well, out of that, my gosh, I got accolades from those who were in charge of the soul winning team. It put everybody at ease who was there to learn about soul winning, because now all the pressure was off. They weren't there to tell anybody anything. They were there going out, knocking on doors to listen to people. And that has been a paradigm that has stayed with me mostly through my life. There's times I've become combative. There's times I've become defensive because of what I think is right. And I have yeah-butted some people. It doesn't stay around long, though, because it don't feel good. Have you ever been in one of those? They just don't feel good. The defenses come up. Why not just sit and listen? So now, why are we going into all of this? Because this transition for me into understanding the reality of predestination would have only come to me. Divine revelation would have never got it to me, folks. God writing it on a wall would not have gotten to me. What did get to me? Listen. Listen. You're in a position, you know what you think, you know what you are embracing. I had questions, so why not listen? So that is the experience that Don has told you about that happened here at my home. And it is just so powerful. So I did not want to embrace anything that was going to minimize the work of the cross. And that's what people who were like Carlton Pearson were doing, who were coming into, quote, as his book says, the gospel of inclusion. When you have to exclude the cross to include people, I'm out of the club. And Carlton's entire teaching is based on excluding the cross to include people and every religion on the earth as possible means and ways. That's what true universalism is. Universalism is not that you believe everybody's going to heaven. Universalism is that you can get there any damn way you want. You can make up your own. You can get there through, gods and goddesses and, a candle in the wind. I mean, you can get there there's many paths to God. There are not many paths to God. There's only one, and God took the path to get to us. We don't take this path that God created. Wouldn't that be stupid? God created a path that we use to get to him. Sorry, that's not what happened. God created the way, the truth, and the life for him to get to us on. Not for us to get to him on. So let's keep learning together. It's just the most powerful thing that has ever happened. And Don could tell you, we got on this PowerCast this morning late because I'm not feeling good, folks. I've got two or three things going on. It's just like, my gosh, just take a gun and shoot me. But this is where life is. This is why we do what we do. We're not here to try to force you into any way of thought. That's why we told you we publish things on our website we may not agree with. Just please keep thinking. Keep thinking, keep asking questions, keep moving forward, and we will get to what we need to know. And we are now further down the road now than we were.
Gospel Revolution.
If you're a registered Amazon user, then Amazon will donate to Mike Williams Ministries. How about that? Amazon, Jeff Bezos, is going to donate to Mike Williams Ministries and the Gospel Revolution. 0.5% of everything you buy from them. Nothing else will change for you except that now you'll be an active participant in the Gospel Revolution without spending one extra cent. Pretty good, huh?
Mm-hmm.
If you want to know more about it, go to www.gospelrevolution.com, go to the donate link, and then under that you'll see the Amazon link, and you'll see exactly how to do this and make it happen for you.
I just did that yesterday, Barris.
Oh, excellent. Excellent.
Yeah, I went on, and the only thing I had to do different was instead of Amazon.com, and once you type it in once, your taskbar will bring it up automatically.
Uh-huh.
Just put in AmazonSmile.com. And now when I type in Amazon, Amazon Smile comes up instead because it has taken precedent over Amazon, and nothing else is different. Now that I've made the selection that I want to give a contribution to Mike Williams Ministries, nothing else is different. I don't have to click on anything else, anything more. It's now just simply where I log on. And now where I log on is predestined because I changed it to Amazon Smile.
Couldn't resist that one, could you?
Couldn't do it.
Okay, let's, I think we've got time to do some of this letter today. Now, the letter we're talking about is a letter that was written by Dr. James Richards, holder of 3 doctorates. Nobody knows quite where they came from, but he has 3 doctorates. I've got none, so I dare not question that. And he wrote a letter. Now, this was a long-time friend of Mike Williams. They ministered together, they taught together, preached together, did the whole thing together. But now he has written a letter to disavow any link he has with Michael Williams. So we'll pick this letter up. In fact, he says Jesus himself said that we could only know a person by their fruits.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that is a plain lie, and we've already dealt with that, so we're not going to go back there.
I love doing it, though, Barris. It is one of the most misused things in the entire New Testament. Oh, every church uses it. It simply does not say what is taught. You'll have to listen to last week, though, to find out.
Yeah. He then explained that the people who proposed to have done so much for him were, in fact, people who didn't personally know him. Why didn't they know him? They were lawless. They rejected God's law as the absolute truth. Matthew 7:21-23. They refused to know him through God's word. They rejected the truth of the word he came to reveal. Oh boy.
Poor Paul. Poor, innocent, ignorant, uninformed.
Biased.
Paul, bless his heart. Not only did Paul have something to say about exactly what Jim just said here, it's Paul's entire testimony. Now, Paul talked about knowing him. You know, the only way the disciples spoke about knowing Christ was that they walked with him, talked with him, ate fish with him. Paul talked about knowing him in a totally different way. And that's what Jim is alluding to here. But what Paul said is that to be able to know Christ, now this is Philippians 3:10, and that I may know him. Now this is the exact statement. You see there, Barris, I'm looking at that on my screen.
Uh-huh.
People who didn't personally know him. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering to be made conformable unto his death. Now that's a whole hunk of statement. But how does one arrive at knowing him? Well, you have to back up. And he's talking about being a Jew of Jews, a keeper of the law, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. All right?
Uh-huh.
Now, isn't that the other thing that Jim has brought up here, is that they are lawless, therefore they can't know him. Now, Paul knew the law, and says that was what was keeping him from knowing Christ.
Mm.
But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Gain from what? Gain from obedience to the law, or even knowing the law. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness. Now, if you're wondering which righteousness he's talking about, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. And as Michael Blanch would say, bam.
Yeah.
This is direct contradiction to Jim's statement here, that you have to know the law to know Christ. What? You have to know God's law to know Christ. This is bunk. This is absolutely refutable bunk.
Let's have a look at the verse that Dr. James Richards mentioned here. It's Matthew 7:21-23. He says, he then explained to the people who proposed to have done so much for him were in fact people who didn't personally know him. Why didn't they know him? They were lawless. They rejected God's law as the absolute truth. Okay.
Well, shouldn't every Pharisee have known Christ then?
Well, not only that, but if you don't reject God's law as absolute truth, then you would have to tithe 30%.
Yeah.
Every third year, you'd have to take your tithe money and you'd have to convert it to buying strong drink and wine to have a big old party.
Mm-hmm.
If you accepted the whole law as the absolute truth,
yeah,
then you would have to stone your children if they were rebellious.
Mm-hmm.
You would have to stand your wife out in the front garden when she had a period because you cannot have her under the same roof as you.
Mm-hmm.
For God's sake, Dr. Jim, do you even hear yourself? They didn't personally know him. Why didn't they know him? They were lawless. Well, let me just touch on this. We've touched on it before. The word lawless is anomian.
Yeah.
Now, I dare you. I've got $300 in my pocket, Dr. Jimmy, if you can prove me wrong. And if you can prove that what you're saying here is not BS. Anomian means outside of the law. It does not mean lawless in the common modern sense. No, they weren't lawless. They were without law. They rejected God's law. Who says they did? The Gentiles were outside of God's law. They were lawless.
Mm-hmm.
Did they necessarily reject God's law? No. What about Nineveh? When Jonah went to Nineveh, they said, oh, gosh, is that what God wants us to do? Oh, all right, then we'll change our minds and do that. So no, Dr. James, what you're doing is you're picking and choosing, you're text-proofing, and I'm sorry, but I think you're full of it.
Mm-hmm.
They rejected God's law as the absolute truth. I don't think so.
And he says they refused to know him through God's word.
Whatever that is.
Wait a minute. I thought the word was made flesh.
That's what I thought. But apparently it's whatever you want it to be.
And now we've got to know the word of God, Christ, through the written word of God, which became a human being. This is, oh, man. You know, now, folks, if you wonder why that I enjoy personally that we do this, go through this letter, is honestly,
it's so much fun.
It's so much fun, number one. But number two, Dr. Jim Richards is one of the best perpetrators of Christian doctrine that I know. Now, he does it really good. And we're just wanting to show you, man, he is a thinker. This man knows how to spin a sentence. This man, he knows his Bible. But what we want you to see is just because somebody has three doctorates, just because somebody knows how to spin a sentence, just because somebody knows how to tag one verse to another verse, sew it together, you know, and seal it in goat's blood somewhere in the middle, doesn't mean that they know what they're talking about. Now, Jim is a wonderful, and I use the term perpetrator deliberately, because Christian doctrine has been perpetrated upon the earth. It's not even a divine revelation.
It took 400 years
yep.
to actually it to tie it down. It took 400 years of killing the opposition, murdering people who disagreed with it. It took 400 years of turning it into an organization instead of an organism. It took 400 years of making sure that you paid people in order to propagate this concept of Christianity. It took 400. This didn't happen overnight.
Yeah.
It took 400 years. Sorry.
Yeah, no, this is very true. And this, boy, I tell you what, this, now see, Jim wouldn't teach this if he was up teaching about Christ. He just wouldn't do it. I've heard him teach. But suddenly he parks his brain to come together with this convoluted thing of knowing God's word to know Christ.
Well, have a listen to what he says next. He says, they rejected the truth of the word he came to reveal. Well, if Christ is the word, what did he come to reveal? What was the word he came to reveal?
Himself.
Apparently, see, I remember Jesus saying, if you have seen me, you have
yes.
Not the word. You have not seen the word, you've seen the Father.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you've seen everything if you've seen Christ. Goodness gracious. One of the other reasons that I love going through this, I hope you guys, when you hear us go through this, just jump up and down with joy for what you've escaped from. We are reading this letter in context. The content, the motive is stated for why it was written. It's a big old warning to every church leader in the world, although I don't think Jim has access to very many church leaders anymore at all. Even in his own circles, I don't think he has much access. But we have had access to church leaders. And let me tell you, I'm very proud to announce that all of the church leaders who embraced the gospel resigned. Now, I didn't ask him to resign. I didn't ask Don Bartlett to resign. I didn't know Don Bartlett until way after he had resigned, married Laura, and moved here. Then I became acquainted with him. He resigned. What caused you to do that, Barris? What in the world... After you heard gospel, because this has happened to so many people in the ministry, pastors in Christianity, they just quit, went back and started making tents again, if you will. This has been the most amazing thing, result, unintended result. Folks, let me tell you what my hope was. We would get all of these pastors of these churches to understand the gospel, then I would have a secure income because they would invite me to their churches. We converted the pastors. Oh my gosh. We converted so many pastors to the gospel. Therefore, I, Mike Williams, now have a place to go speak, whereas the others have rejected me. Well, plan A failed. I should be going to Australia to speak for Pastor Don Bartlett.
Dr. Don Bartlett.
Sorry.
The most reverend Dr. Don Bartlett. Well,
oh my gosh.
Well, let's have a listen to his next sentence. As leaders, oh gosh, that's who you were just talking about, Mike. We must take heed lest we make the same mistake. Whatever mistake that is, I guess being lawless or something, or rejecting God's law as the absolute truth. So let me just interpose his sentences on each other. As leaders, we must take heed lest we make the same mistake of rejecting God's law as the absolute truth and not stoning our children when they're rebellious, or sewing two kind of different pieces of material together, or taking homosexuals and stoning them, or taking anyone who's adulterous and stoning them. So we should take heed lest we make that same mistake and allow our sympathies, friendships, or fear of man lead us to create our own doctrines about how to handle these destructive philosophies. What, like you have created your own doctrine about how to handle Mike Williams? Like how you have created your own doctor? I noticed that on your website, Dr. Jimmy, you sell your products for anything up to $400 plus. You got no problems with shearing the sheep. And if you've heard this, and I hope you have, you'll notice that earlier in this program, the most important teaching that we have ever made, we have now just released it for free. Let me remind you what Jesus said, because you say that people like us don't listen to Jesus' words. Jesus said, freely you have received, freely give. Dr. Jimmy, how about putting your money where your mouth is? How about having some integrity? How about, oh, don't worry, you wouldn't hear it anyway. Let him that has ears to hear and all that. In our humanistic concepts of love, we think we are in no danger when we continue to listen to those who teach such things.
Mm. So the real danger here now is listening.
He's gonna make that even clearer, but yep, you're right, you got it. You can't listen to anything that is not what he says is true.
Wow.
You just can't listen to it.
Well, I remember those days, Beerus, being warned about not listening to this and that. I'm appalled by that now. And obviously, we encourage people. We not only encourage people to listen to anything, everything, but we also publish what other people have said. We've published this letter on our website. We want you to hear it because we think that your ability to think for yourself is the most important thing about the gospel. I wish I could tell you, Don, how many times this forbidden to listen has absolutely rocketed the gospel into denominations around the world. The Worldwide Church of God sent out an edict from Los Angeles, California. Their head office is there. And sent to pulpits around the planet to not listen to Mike Williams or to listen to his tapes or go listen to Mike Williams. The number of people we had showing up at our meetings saying we just had to come hear what it was we were forbidden to listen to. Why is this so dangerous? So, you know, keep forbidding, you know, for goodness, for the truth's sake, keep forbidding, because you're going completely against human nature when you do that.
You know, every time that I remember in Australia years ago, every time that the, I don't know what you, the denizens of higher morality, I think they were a government department, who said what movies could be shown and what couldn't be shown.
Yeah.
Every time they ever did it, that movie or that book,
yep,
firstly, they became bestsellers. But this has happened down through history, and it's never worked.
Oh, yeah.
All the times that people, what about all the book burnings?
You know,
exactly. The very first time I remember a book burning taking place, it was by John Calvin, and he burned all the books of Michael Servetus. He actually burned them around the bottom of the stake upon which he had Michael Servetus executed by fire, and he used greenwood so that it would last longer and cause him more pain. And all of the books that he burned, guess what they were, mate? Mike Servetus was the father of modern cardiovascular system. He was the guy who discovered the cardiovascular system, set medicine back by 100 years, and there's your father of Calvinism. I mean, it takes a special kind of ignorance to destroy that with which you do not agree just because you don't understand it.
Now, Beerus, let me get this right. I did not know this history. Are you telling me that the founder of Calvinism, which was?
John Calvin.
Had this man burned at the stake because of his books that he wrote, the first person to discover the cardiovascular system in the human body?
He didn't. That wasn't the reason he did it, but yes, he did do that. And the reason he did it was because Michael Servetus was not a Trinitarian.
Oh.
And John Calvin was a Trinitarian. Now, The term Trinitarian simply means that you believe that God is three in one. Now, this was settled in blood in around about the first couple of hundred years of the church. But 1,300 years later, Calvin thought it that important that if anyone stated that they did not believe in the Trinity, then they had to be executed, they had to be murdered. And what happened was Mike Servetus, young Mickey Servetus, came to town and he said, I think I better go to church because I go to church every Sunday. He goes to the only church in the place, which is run by John Calvin. John Calvin sees Mike Servetus down there holding up his hymn book and singing, and he has a little, he calls up a couple of his lackeys and says, hey, see him, grab him.
Mm.
And that's how it happened.
My. Ah, oh, folks.
You've got to love Christianity, don't you? You just got to love it.
And you've got to understand that if we lived just a few hundred years before now, this voice you're hearing, the other voice that is on this PowerCast, Jeff Robertson, and the list would have continued of those who were confirmed to be followers, quote unquote. Do you realize that Christianity would have burned us at the stake?
And cheered and clapped.
Yes.
Family, if you want to read a great book, read Fox's Book of Martyrs. It's only a few hundred years old, but read Fox's Book of Martyrs and you will see how good Christian people found it so exciting and so wonderful to murder people.
Yeah, and you say, well, where is the getting off point with this? Where in the world would somebody actually feel what mindset? See, that's what gets me. When people do things, I want to know what they were thinking. When the people in Germany followed Hitler, I want to understand, you know, not everybody that followed Hitler was evil people. They were convinced of a mindset that caused them to deviate away from their very own hearts. This has happened to groups of people around the world ever since world history has been here. But where is the jumping? Where is the connection? What is it that does give vent to such actions? It is right here in Dr. Jim Richards' letter. When you listen to them, you are in great danger. Now you say, well, Mike, how is that the jumping off place? How is that the connective tissue to murder? Listen, folks, in a religious mind, if you determine that hearing something is going to send people to hell, doesn't it justify the murder of one rather than multitudes going to hell? I called Jim's office in an attempt to make a contact with him many years ago. Jim has stated in his meetings, standing in the hallways and stuff with people who've reported back to me, his tearful description of attempts to contact me and I wouldn't respond.
Would that be like the time he hid in the kitchen and sent his wife out to tell you that? That he didn't want anything to do with you? Would that be like that?
Like that one, and like the time that I honestly sent a heartfelt thank you card to him. And the only thing I said in the card was, Jim, I remember our walks. There was no response to that. I called the office. His daughter answered the phone. She went to get him and came back and informed me he was not there. I think she knew whether or not he was there before she went to look for him. That's my persuasion. But suddenly he was not there.
I love what you say, mate, that to be a good Christian, you got to be a good liar.
So his daughter, Tanya, who's just a sweetheart, I tell you, this family, they were just a part of my family. And so then Tanya came back to the phone and now, Jim never, ever, ever confronted me about any of this. We talked about a couple of things I was teaching, but it was hit and run stuff. He didn't want to stay to hear what I had to say.
That's what bullies are.
Yeah, hit and run.
Bullies are heroes with coward's legs.
So then the only person who ever withstood me to the face was Jim's daughter. And it was this desperate plea in her voice. And she said, Mike, she said, what you are saying is going to send people to hell. Now, that was not from Jim. That was from Tanya Richards, Jim's daughter, somebody that I really, both of his daughters, I really considered to be my own at the time. But that's the only person in that family that ever said anything to me about the teaching and these drastic concerns. Obviously, these things had been said in the background because Tanya was just a teenager still, I think, at the time. And she was repeating, I'm sure, what she had heard. And maybe she believed it herself. I don't know. But you see, that's where the freedom to murder somebody comes in. When you are persuaded that somebody hearing something you disagree with is going to bring them mortal danger. Folks, we've got to set people free to hear whatever they want to hear.
And it's going to put them in such mortal danger that you have to murder them in the end.
We're going to have to murder them. So instead of murdering them, let's murder the guy that told them this.
The letter goes on, in our humanistic concepts of love, whatever that is, we think that we are in no danger when we continue to listen to those who teach such things. After all, we know the truth. We're mature. We are open-minded. But remember, deception doesn't start by believing a lie. It starts by listening to a lie. If you could ask Adam and Eve, I'm sure they would agree. And even if we are safe, what about the people we influence? Okay, going to take a break.
I used to be a Christian, but Jesus set me free.
I used to be a Christian, but Jesus set me free. I used to be a Christian, but Jesus set me free. I used to be a Christian, but Jesus set me free. Now Gospel Revolution is home sweet home to me.
If you're a Facebook follower and want to hang out with us, then hit the search bar in Facebook and search Friends of Mike Williams and the Gospel Revolution. If you want your questions and remarks to not be seen by anyone outside a secret private group, then write in the Facebook search bar these words, Gospel Revolution Private Group, and ask to join. This group also sprang out of the need to have a group where concepts of a slightly more controversial nature might be raised. If you're not receiving our quarterly newsletter, then you should be. You're a fool because it's free. And if you got any Scottish in you at all, look, you just need everything that's free. GospelRevolution.com. Go to Connect and write us a letter and just ask to be put on our mailing list. If you want any of our hundreds of free products, go to www.GospelRevolution.com. And look for them, where we have over 2,500 hours of free material, teachings, and podcasts available. And while in the store, you'll find the cheapest seminar teachings. They don't come cheaper than free, family. You're ever liable to find anywhere on the internet. If you need a fast injection of the gospel CPR, that is the consistent, persistent, and repetitive joy of the gospel, tune into the Gospel Revolution Radio, playing 24/7, thanks to Marcel Roos in Holland. All you do is you click on audio, and you'll see it right there. Forums, articles, seminars, radio, videos, Facebook, podcasts. Golly, we've got it all, and just for you. www.gospelrevolution.com. And while you're there, watch some of Jeff Robertson's videos. Mike, I missed this one. I don't know why I missed it, but if you go to videos and then latest videos, go three down and you'll come across one called Consider Jesus First. I think this is one of the most masterful handlings of the topic that Jeff Robertson approached that I have heard. I just think his tone of delivery and his content was just, it was unbeatable. If I can recommend, family, go there, look at this. If you haven't seen it, look at this video, Consider Jesus First. Jeff Robertson, hats off to you, friend.
Gospel Revolution.
And so we're back to this letter. I think we've got time to just look at another couple of sentences here. The writer, Dr. James Richards, says, the Bible is clear. Stop listening to them. Have nothing to do with them. That's people like us. I know this has a strong sound and seems contrary to love, but if we love the people to whom we minister, we must trust the admonitions of our loving God.
Wow. That was well couched.
Oh, dear. Oh, man, you're a sad loss to the diplomatic corps, you are, Dr. Jimmy. You should have been a politician.
Now, let me tell you, the only ones that I know that said stop listening to them was Peter definitely did that, Jude. It was only the disciples who recommended that you stop listening to somebody. Paul did not recommend that you stop listening. I know at least two of the other letters did forewarn people about listening.
I mean, if Paul on the road to Damascus had stopped listening, we wouldn't have two-thirds of the New Testament. And everything, I'm sure, that he heard from the lips of God or Jesus or whoever he felt he was hearing from, I'll guarantee that they were all against everything he believed was the word of God.
Yeah, exactly. Now, the other statement that he makes here is that he's talking about have nothing to do with them. Now, that has nothing to do with doctrine whatsoever. This was in 1 Corinthians, as far as Paul's participation in it, was pertaining to the guy who was having sex with his stepmother. And there was the separation that was that Paul instituted there. The interesting thing is Paul addresses this again in 2 Corinthians and tells them, acts in absolute disgust that they have actually done this. Now, what all that means, I don't know. Now, there is a statement that Paul says about his last letter to the Corinthians, and it's this. I said these things to test you. Now, does that mean that Paul, wanting to know if people were truly free from their judgmental, legalistic ways, took a man and said, okay, let's judge the dude, get rid of him, don't talk to him, don't eat dinner with him, don't associate with him, cross the street to the other side when you see him coming? Seems to be a doctrine that Christianity has picked up on very well here. But they never read 2 Corinthians, where Paul definitely is addressing the very same man and the very same people and saying, why have you done this? You should be treating him like a brother. You should be embracing him. And Paul also making the statement concerning his previous letter saying, I said these things to test you.
The writer goes on to say, you should not be mean, ugly, judgmental, or argumentative. But if Jesus is Lord and his word is what you use, see, clearly, the writer doesn't believe that Jesus is the Word or the Logos, as John clearly states. I wonder how much more of the New Testament he doesn't agree with. But if Jesus is Lord and his word is what you use to build your life, you are warned of the deadly danger of just a little leaven.
Wow.
Well, leaven was not the law. It was legalism, the perversion of the law. It was the way the Pharisees twisted the law. Today it is the way grace imposters twist the law. Now, let me remind you, Dr. Jimmy, that you don't believe in the law. If you believed in the law, you'd hold your worship meetings on a Saturday, not a Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
You don't believe in the law? Even though earlier you said that people like us rejected God's law as the absolute truth. Doesn't seem to me like you're keeping God's law as the absolute truth. Were your kids ever rebellious? Did you stone them? Have you come across a homosexual down at the food market? You ought to bloody pick up stones and stone him, shouldn't you? You talk about love. Don't be mean or ugly. You tell me that's not mean or ugly. Couldn't you love your friendly homosexual neighbor by stoning him to death? Shouldn't you do that if you really believe in the law? Dr. Jim, what kind of ludicrous logic were you raised on? When you got those three doctorates, I'll guarantee one was not philosophy or logic from any accredited university. I'll guarantee that you did not get a degree in logic or a degree in philosophy from any well-known accredited university. Of course, you may have. I'll stick my hand in my pocket and I'll pay for one of those doctorates if you can prove that it was. But clearly, you've got no logic underlying your conclusions. All you have is conclusions tacked together with straw man arguments, with BS, and with twisted, convoluted sentences which reasonably intelligent people can't actually even make any sense of. Anyway, but if Jesus is Lord and his word is what you use to build your life, you are warned of the deadly danger of just a little leaven. Leaven was not the law, it was legalism, the perversion of the law. If legalism is a perversion of the law, I dare you to show me how it was not the law itself.
Boy, that is the truth, yeah.
This isn't rocket science, Mike, is it? I mean, we're not Rhodes Scholars, and we can even get it.
Mm.
But this three doctorate holder can't get it. Today, it is the way grace imposters twist the law. That's you, Michael.
Mm-hmm.
You little twisting grace imposter person, you. Leaven is anything that perverts God's law.
Leaven is anything that disagrees with Dr. Jim.
Of course it is. That perverts God's law, his love, his word, or his character. Dr. Jim, you want to give us a verse for that?
Yeah.
I doubt you will. You know why? They ain't there. There is nothing that I know in the Bible that says that leaven is anything that perverts God's love. Nothing.
Yeah.
Dr. Jim, I think I'm going to call you out not just as a BS artist. I think I'm going to call you out as a flat-down liar. But he says, leaders, I want you to be strong in the Lord, strong in faith and grace, strong in love, and immovable in truth. What truth, Dr. James? What truth? Oh, sorry. Of course. That would be your truth. I want your churches and ministries to be healthy. What does that mean again, Michael?
Well, making money.
Yeah. I think you're doing it wrong, Mike.
Something wrong.
I think you're doing it bad wrong. I think that we... No, well, I want your churches and ministries to be healthy, producing good fruit. Don't bother with a verse here, Dr. James. Healing a hurting world. Don't bother with a verse there. You won't find a verse in the Bible saying that our job is to heal a hurting world. But don't let that stop you. You just keep on writing because clearly you got a fast-moving pen here. Together we will help those who stumble through the errors of our day. What good people we are.
Yep.
We will love them, not condemn or judge them. What the hell? What has this letter all been about, for crying out loud? We will love them, not condemn. Do you hear the patronizing condescension here? Do you hear the milky, the silky crap? I mean, it's not... chocolate. This is poop. It ain't chocolate. But we will show them what this life looks like when it is a walk of love. Dr. James, you haven't shown us any love in this. You haven't shown us any love in this. You have shown the people who you call detractors, you have shown the people who you call are wrong, you've shown them anything but love. And in fact, you don't even have the guts. You don't have the internal fortitude. You don't have the balls to even answer us. All you have the desire to do is to tear down and not to edify.
You know, goodness gracious, I've been present and accounted for around this love, if we only saw it, come from Impact Ministries. We would all be just swept up by it. I've been around it, Don. Folks in the Gospel Revolution, I've been around it. You know, some of our friends that are in the Gospel Revolution, they've been around it. And some of the friends that walked out of this church because of money practices, because of the way they treated people, to the point where there's no church there that we can find any place advertised on Jim's new site. He's got a brand new site up. It's absolutely beautiful.
It's stunning.
But I've gone over every part of it. There is no advertisement. There is a calendar of Jim's events, and there's about one event a month to every other month. There is nothing on the calendar that we meet on Sunday, like he did when I was there, like he did when I was thrown out of the church and of the house also all at the same time. But I've been around that love. And I tell you what, if that's the standard by which I'm supposed to accept the words of God that is spoken through this ministry, I would have to declare myself a complete unbeliever in all of that, because there was no love there at the time, for not only for me, but for many people who left this ministry because of the way they were treated and because of the way money was handled.
Well, God might have unconditional love, but I've never seen it yet in the church industrial complex.
No, I've not seen it in me.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I was going to say that to you after the show.
I'm still trying to achieve the standard, Don Bartlett, of the perfect love of God.
Follow me even as I follow God. And so it is, family and friends, that we must leave you. My takeaway from Christianity was, I am God, and I love you so much that I created hell, just in case you didn't love me back. Or to put it another way, knock, knock.
Who's there?
Jesus.
Jesus, what do you want?
I want to tell you what I'm going to do to you if you don't open the door. If that sounds like pig slop to you, then you're going to love Phil Britton's book, The Greatest Gospel Truth. This is a simple yet powerful expose of how religion has thoroughly corrupted the gospel of grace and the gospel of peace, and how you can distinguish the truth from the lies. The book's free. Here is another free thing, family. Crying out loud, we try to stick the road signs up where you can get everything for nothing. Why miss out on this? Just go to www.greatestgospeltruth.com. Download it. Just that simple. We run a value-for-value model here, and it costs us time, cash, and energy to research, produce, and maintain this free information. This value-for-value model is the only way we feel that we can present the gospel freely and unhindered. So, if you feel that you've received real value from this podcast, then I'm asking you to seriously consider donating towards it. Why don't you call area code 321-220-4373 and speak to Jeff Robertson about how you can participate? Or go to www.gospelrevolution.com, hit the donate link, and don't forget that the Amazon connection is there too, which won't cost you a penny to participate in. But we'll give donations to the Mike Williams Ministries and the Gospel Revolution. And remember, cash is not the only way you can support the gospel. Anything you can do to help the gospel can make all of the difference for somebody else just like you, starting their own journey towards thinking for themselves. If you have any questions, feel free to record them on United States area code 234-564-0971. For outside of the United States, you dial your international code and then the number is 123-456-40971. And remember, in the words of Mike Turi, we don't give God glory. We are God's glory. Perhaps you'd like to invite Mike to your area. It's easier than you might think. Call our office on the number we just mentioned with details, when, where, and why, and that will happen. So now it's good night from myself, Beres Bartlett, from the GR Studios right here in Eva, Alabama.
And it is good evening from Michael Williams right here in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida. I've really enjoyed this. I hope that you have too. You know, we set about to try to not be so hard on Dr. Jim.
We really did. Really? Really did.
We really do. Do a reset. We come together and say, now let's tone this down. Let's ratchet it back a little bit. You know, we both get concerned as to whether or not it's impeding our actual ability to get you to understand this. But Man, I tell you, when you've had the experiences that Don Bartlett has had and I've had, not only as people who have been harmed by these doctrines, but people who perpetrated these doctrines.
Mm.
You see, a lot of what we're angry about is ourselves, that we actually fell for it. I'm angry with myself when I read Jim's letter. It angers me that I was so foolish. It angers me that I said these things and perpetrated these things against people's lives. So let me apologize right here at the end of the show for anything that we've gotten to that seemed to be over the top. I know there's the things that I've made reference to that I could have done it different, but we didn't.
We hope you enjoyed today's We hope you enjoyed today's podcast, but if you didn't, remember, just because you're offended doesn't mean you're right. And that's where I'm going to come back, and I'm just going to rest on that, mate. I'm not going to apologize, much as you might want me to. Just because you're offended doesn't mean you're right. So if you prefer learning how to think to being told what to think, join us again next week, same time, same channel, where we're going to do the same thing all over again, only...
I swear we're going to try better.
Okay, that was kind of fun, mate.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
I think I have to tone down next week. Maybe we'll
I do too.
We'll hit the reset button and
I think we play off each other on that is the difficult thing, is that the moment that I think I've got you calmed down, I say something. And it's like, well, okay, you just opened up the whole gate here. And so, you know, you can't complain because you're the one that did it first.
But, I hear you.
Yeah. So we are our own worst enemies in our attempts to handle this in a different tone.
I'm glad I'm not going to hear back from Jeff again about how... How I should quieten down. All right, buddy.
You already knew that, didn't you?
I did. Didn't need to hear it again.
Exactly. Thanks, Barris. Love you.
Okay, Michael. I hope you just continue to get better and better, mate.
Yeah, thank you so much for your well wishes.
All right, friend. Bye-bye.